You are listening to a message from The Exchange in Pearl, Mississippi. To find out more about The Exchange, go to www.theexchange.cc.
But here's the deal. All right, here's the reality. I haven't preached in 4 weeks. Yep. I'm thinking 3 o'clock, okay, if we're doing good today. No, I'm just kidding. Some of you are like, is he serious? No, he's not serious. But man, really excited. Today we turn a chapter into a new chapter, part of the story in the Christmas season. It is here, whether you like it or not, it is here. Deal with it, okay? No, man, really excited today. We kick off a brand new series as we walk into the Christmas and Advent season together called The Word With Us. And, you know, Christmas brings about a lot of emotions and feelings and reactions and details, doesn't it? Okay? For some of you, like, it's your favorite time of the year. It's like, come on, bring me the Christmas tree. You've had yours up since before Thanksgiving, okay, and the rest of us glare at you because we're like, come on, just slow down a little bit. But like, you love it, man. You love the family and the traditions and all the good stuff. But then there's some other people, and if we're just really honest today, it's maybe one of the most difficult times of the year. Maybe because of loss that you've experienced in your life, maybe of the last year, of the last few years, or maybe the difficulties of family or things that are going on in your life. And so, man, you're not really fired up about Christmas 2022. For other people, many of us, it's the busiest season of the year, right? I mean, like, who's looking for one more thing to do? There are parties and family gatherings, and somehow you buy a few presents in the midst of that. And that's on top of, like, school and work and all the other schedules. But here's what I want us to say today as we just kind of step into this series, is that no matter how you feel about the Christmas season, my hope is that over our few weeks together as we gather during December, that you would be reminded, we'd all be reminded of the greatest news and hope of the Christmas season, okay, that matters for all of us. No matter whether it's your favorite or it's the most difficult season that you're dreading walking into, man, there's great hope and great news in this season. And so to dive into that truth, we're going to use John chapter 1. So if you have a copy of Scripture, we're going to use it. We use it every single week. John chapter 1 is where we're going to be. So, man, we'd love for you to turn there, whether you have a digital or hard copy of Scripture, man, just so it's in front of you, maybe something to take notes along with that. And if you don't have a copy of Scripture with you, it's all good. We'll use some verses on our screen, no matter where you're gathering today, so that you can stay along with me. And as you turn there, just want you to know, over the next 4 weeks, as we walk in this series called The Word With Us, we're going to use John 1 to point us to that great news, that good hope, that better hope of Christmas. John 1 is going to do that. Now, if you've done the church thing for a long time, you're like, don't you have to preach out of Luke 2 in Christmas? Well, we're not, okay? John chapter 1, not maybe a super traditional Christmas passage, but as we dive into it, I think you'll see that John 1 still very much highlights the narrative of Christmas, and it gives us this truth that I believe if you lean in, if you really want to hear from the Lord, that could literally impact and change your life. And so today, John 1 is going to do that. Now, John 1 verses 1 through 18 is where we're really going to be over the next 4 weeks. If you want to read ahead, awesome, do that. You can preach week 2. But John 1, 1 through 18 is called, if you break down the book, it's called the prologue. Okay, it's kind of like the foreword to the book. How many of you, like, you read books and you actually, like, read the foreword or the preface or the preface, however you want? Okay, some of you are weird. Okay, awesome, cool. We're really grateful that you're here. We love you. You're welcome. I'm kidding. Don't email me. But, like, so John 1, 1 through 18, it's the prologue. Like, it's like the lead-in, but it's in these verses where there's this transformational, such powerful truth that John starts with. And so let's read. Today we're going to try to tackle 1 through 5. John 1, 1 through 5. Let's read that together, and then we'll go back and talk about it. It says, "In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. He was with God in the beginning. Through him all things were made. Without him nothing was made that has been made. And in him was life, and that life was the light of all mankind. And the light shines in the darkness, and the darkness has not overcome it." Verse 1, very familiar words if you've read Scripture much before. It says, "In the beginning," hello, "was the Word." Now, in a series called The Word With Us, I think it's probably a pretty important thing kind of here from the beginning to get on the same page about what in the world is this phrase, the Word. Now, English class, you ready for that? You didn't know you were coming, but here you are. The Word in those translations is a capital W, meaning it's a proper. Cool. 6 of you paid attention in English. Some of your teachers really, really proud. Proper noun, meaning it's a name. It is someone. And so to put us together, the Word is Jesus. And Jesus is the word. So as we read that today, as you hear that, man, hear that interchangeably. The word is Jesus and Jesus is the word. And here's the nutshell of the next month that we celebrate together. Christmas is the celebration of the earthly arrival of the word, Jesus, that he came to be with us. And why John's gospel is maybe a little bit unique in this season is that John's gospel is the only gospel, Matthew, Mark, Luke, John, that starts Jesus' life not with a cradle and a manger in Bethlehem, but it starts within the beginning. Like before all things, when nothing was there, the Word was there. And John says, in the beginning was the Word. Now, today in our passage, here's what I want to try to do for us is I want us to learn. For some of you, it'll be new. For some of you, you'll be reminded. We still need to be reminded of three very central and powerful truths about the Word or about Jesus. And so, all my note takers, here we go. Let's go. Number one, the first truth so powerful for us as we step into Christmas is that the Word is fully God. Okay? The Word is fully God. Verse 1, we read it, not only identifies Jesus as the Word, but it says the Word was with God and the Word was God. The Word was and is still to this day fully God. In other words, everything that can be said about God the Father, boom, can also be said about God the Son, the Word. So in Jesus, in that baby in the manger that's sitting under your Christmas tree or on your lawn right now, that representation in the baby in the manger dwelled all of the wisdom and the glory and the power and the love and the holiness and the justice and the goodness and the truth of God right there. The Word was fully God and came to dwell among us in flesh. Now, the Greek translation of that word, capital W, the word that they use is the word logos, okay? Or in Rain County, we say logos, okay? Meaning the reason, the mind, or the intelligence of God. That's what logos means, the reason, the mind, or the intelligence of God. So to say Jesus was the Word or Jesus was the logos meant that he was the expression of God to mankind. Let me paint it this way. If someone is a writer, what do? They take their thoughts and then they write them out in word form, in a story, an article, a blog, a book, and then we read it. What happens in that moment? As the reader, we gain insight into the mind of the writer through their what? Words. So therefore, if Jesus was the Word of God, then Jesus in his life, his ministry, his death, his resurrection, all that you read about him, it was God's expression to us. And the Word was fully God. Now, let's take it a little bit deeper. Jesus was God, but he was also distinct from God. He was and is the second person of the Trinity, and he is distinct from the Father. He is distinct from the Son, but yet at the same time, John says, while he is distinct in his own nature, he is also fully God. Now, you sit on that long enough, your brain will explode. I promise it will. He was not less of God than the Father. He was not less of God than the Spirit, but he exists as a separate person within the Trinity or within the Godhead, as maybe you've heard said before, but he was equal with God, but yet he was distinct in his character. Jesus, the Word, was fully God. And then verse 2 says, goes on to say, the Word was with God in the beginning. In other words, Jesus wasn't created. He has always existed in relationship with the Father. When my son Braylon was born almost 10 years ago, I found the joy. He's our first child, so I found the joy of being a father, okay? Particularly being the father of a son, all right? And he's my buddy, okay? Like, we love to hang out together. We play ball together and talk about life together, and we watch ball together. Whether our team wins or loses, we watch ball together, and then we talk about things. I enjoy being with him because he's my son. Now, over the last decade of our time on earth together, there have been moments where, as life would have it, I was traveling or he went to spend the night with a friend or with family, and so he was away from me. And just to be honest, okay, real dad's heart here today, confession, especially early on, a little bit still now, but especially early on, when we had to drop him off at grandma's house or when he left to be with a friend or when mom and dad went out of town for 3 or 4 days, it wasn't always the easiest. Okay? Why? Because that's my boy, right? And I don't want to be away from him. I find joy in being with him. Now listen, don't miss the miracle of Christmas. The Word was with God. The Son was with the Father. And they knew the intimacy of that relationship. But God in his love for you and me, he sent him away. And can I tell you what I do? There's times on my daddy radar when my daughter or my son asks me, can I go to XYZ? Can I be a part of this? And what is my dad radar? All right, so it's calculating. It goes, all right, is that place safe? Will my child be loved? Will they belong? Will they be cared for? Will they be provided for? Will people make fun of them, okay? And there have been moments where they have asked, and I have said, we're not going to go there. You're not going to be a part of that for whatever reason. And I had a great reason. Stay with me. God the Father in his sovereignty looked into the mess and the chaos and the brokenness of all this that we live in. And he said, I'm going to willingly send my son away from me. He was with me, but now he'll be my expression of my love to you. And the depth of God's love is known in that the Word was with God, but the Word became with us. Jesus was fully God. And that means two extravagantly important things for you and me. Okay, let me give them to you quickly. You can write these down. First, it means that you, don't miss this, you are deeply loved by Heavenly Father. You are deeply loved by Heavenly Father. God the Father, we just said it, willingly sent his boy into the chaos, knowing what would come. Why? So that he could demonstrate his love for you. And if some of you are really honest today, I know Christmas and the lights and the fun and everything, but you go, you know what? Probably one of the last things that you feel maybe is deeply loved, or like you belong, or like you're seen. Maybe you've witnessed the pain of a spouse walking out on you, a child growing distant from you, a parent who has abandoned you, a friend who's betrayed you, fill in the blank. And I'm just saying today that God wants you to hear that regardless of what this world may have handed you, God in his great love for you handed you his son. And he said, the Word be with you. You are deeply loved by Heavenly Father. So here's the second promise, you ready? That comes out of that. The Word is fully God. You're loved by Heavenly Father. It also means this. It means that you and I must choose how will we respond to that truth. Okay. If the baby in the manger, all right, was also fully God of the universe, then that means that the baby in the manger who became the Savior on the cross is Lord. Capital L. He is Lord. And so the question for you and I today, you ready? Here's real life for us. So, do we believe that? Okay. Now, I'm going to give you the benefit of the doubt. You're at church to kick off the Christmas season. 99.9% of you are going, yep, I believe that, Pastor. We're good. Move on. Here's the deeper question. Do you live that way? Do you live as if he is fully Lord? Because let me make it personal. When we believe and live as if Jesus is fully Lord, capital L, it doesn't allow us to compartmentalize our faith to an hour on Sunday, or to when we're with our life group, or to when certain people are watching. Now, if Jesus is fully Lord, then it fully changes how we live. It changes how we view ourselves, how we love our spouse and kids, how we respect and honor and obey our parents, how you'll go to school tomorrow, how you do work this week, how you manage the money that's in your account, how you handle your bodies, how you talk, how you interact on your social media feed. It changes everything about us. And what I'm saying today, and I believe John's pushing to us, is that God didn't fully love us by sending us his son for us to half-heartedly love him back. That he has loved us with a full expression of himself. And the Word in the manger who became with us was fully God. All of God dwelled in him. Let's go back to verse 3, John chapter 1. Pick up with me. Through him, the Word, All things were made. Without him, nothing was made that has been made. Verse 4, in him was life, and that life was the light of all mankind. John again points to this moment of creation, just like Genesis 1:1, in the beginning. And he says, in the beginning, the Word was there. And who's the Word? Jesus. Good. Half of you stand with me. Thank you. The Word was Jesus, and he was there. And verse 3 says, through the Word, all things were made. Now, I don't know about you, but sometimes I've often thought that, like, I thought God was the only one who was their creator, like, whole world in his hands, 7 days, that whole deal. But John says, no. The Word, the Son, Jesus, was a huge part of that Jesus was God's agent in creating all things that have come into existence. And you go, I don't know, I'm not sure about that. Let me back it up with the Word, okay? You ready? Colossians 1. Verse 15, look at this on the screen. It says, the Son, capital S, Jesus, is the image of the invisible God. He's that representation. And he's the firstborn over all creation. Here's our phrase, for in him all things were created. Things in heaven and on earth, visible and invisible, whether thrones or powers or rulers or authorities. Here's another phrase. All things have been created through him and for him. Therefore, verse 17, he's before all things. And in him, all things hold together. One more verse, Hebrews 1, verse 2. But in these last days, he has spoken to us, the Father has spoken to us by his Son, there he is again, whom he appointed heir of all things, and through whom also he made the universe. So let me teach us for a second. Jesus, the Word, did not act independently from God in creation. But Jesus, under God the Father's authority, helped in the creation of all things, which therefore means, catch this, he has authority over all things. Okay, this is about to start applying to you. John 1 doesn't just limit Jesus' authority to creation. He made the animals and the grass and the trees. But it also highlights the creation of life, which was, if we can be down with this, the most essential element of creation. And throughout John, if you read the whole gospel, 36 times John uses the word life. That's double more than any other New Testament book. John ran this as a theme throughout his book, life. Now, here's the second truth today. Write this one down about Jesus, about the Word, is that the Word is fully life. Okay? The Word is fully God. The Word is also fully life. Verse 4, we just read it, says, in him was life. In other words, the Word, Jesus, is the source of all life, not only biological life, but even the very principle of life. The great ancient Greek word translated as this word life is the word zoe. Okay? In Rankin County, we say Zoe. Okay? That's my sister-in-law, Zoe. But the Greeks would say it, zoe. What does that mean? That means life principle. Stay with me. Not bios, not just merely biological life, but zoe, literally the principle of life, resonated where? Through the Word. That he was there in the beginning. The Word, Jesus, was fully God, but the Word is also fully life. And verse 4 says, in its entirety, in him was life, and that life was the light of all mankind. Let's talk about that phrase for a second. John says full life, the full life that Jesus brought when he came into the earth, was what creation and humanity longed for. So think of it this way. Have you ever walked into a room or maybe a house before that you weren't familiar with and it was pitch dark and you like didn't know where the light switch is? Anybody been there before? Okay. Some of you are like, no, I'm a big boy. Okay. I don't care. Like you've done it at some point in your life. I've been there before. And there, like the longer you stand there in the dark, the longer you like rub your hands on the walls trying to find that light switch. Okay. There's a lot of thoughts and emotions that go on, if you'll be honest today. Some of you are like, no, I'm still tough. Okay. Like just be real. There's a lot of thoughts. Like first, I don't know, like does this room have light? Like, is the power turned off? Where is that switch? Where would someone have placed that? How many switches are there? Will there ever be light? Then you start thinking about your personal safety, right? And you're like, could I trip? What all is on the floor? Like, what was left in here? Am I alone in here? Okay? Do I see dead people? Okay? Like, all right? All those things begin to, I don't care how big a boy you are, okay? There's some emotional roller coaster that go in you the longer that you stand in the dark. Why do I make that silly illustration? Because the anticipation and anxiousness of being in the dark, longing for the light, that's what John was saying. He was saying that for God's people, they waited for the light. That for hundreds of years, they had been promised that like a Messiah is coming, a Savior is coming. Hang on, he's going to be there. To the point that some of them begin to doubt. Now, if you've ever been there before with God, like you thought he was going to come through and you started doubting, God's people were there. And then in the most improbable way possible, Luke 2, God, the Word, came to us as a baby in a manger to a virgin girl. And in that moment, watch this, the baby in the manger became the light of the life of all mankind. That was what humanity had hoped for. And God in that moment said, I'm a promise maker and I'm a promise keeper. And the Word became fully life for us. And John tells us that Jesus is the source of not only physical life and light, let's talk to our biology teacher, all right? But he's also the source of all spiritual life and light. And later in John, Jesus states it this way. Love this verse. Look at this on the screen. John 8, verse 12. When Jesus spoke again to the people, he said, I am in my being, in my character, I am the light of the world. And what? And whoever follows me will never walk in darkness, but they will have the light of life. Jesus says, in him, when he came, in his fullness, he offered the light that was the hope that humanity longed for, and the person who follows him would what? Never walk alone in darkness. So let's just logically put this together. That means that without Jesus, life is dead and life is dark and we're lost. Now, I'm not so naive as to think that like you've never heard that before, right? All of us have heard that. Maybe you heard it at Sunday school, Bible school, youth camp, D-Now. Like we've heard that truth that without the Word, without Jesus, life is dark and in many ways dead. Here's the scary part. But so many people still choose to live in the dark. What do you mean, preacher? I'm saying like we hear that in Jesus is the fullness of life and light. And then when it comes to our relationships, we say, but I'm going to do them in my own power and wisdom. Or we hear in Jesus is the life and light of all of humanity. And then we say, but when it comes to my money, all right, I'm going to do as I please. And no, I know that he's creator and he's life and he's fully God and in him is the fullness of life. But when it comes to my priority and schedules, we're going to let that dictate and Jesus will work you in. You see, it's as if we're walking into a dark room, knowing where the light switch is, but refusing to turn it on. And Jesus said this in John 10, verse 9. Jesus says, I am the gate. I'm the way in. And whoever enters, whoever comes in through me will be what? Will be saved. Man, I would love to be that. They will come in and they will go out and they will find pasture. In other words, there's refreshment for their soul. There's peace and joy and life. Verse 10, the thief, who's that? The prince of darkness, the opposite of the light. He comes only to steal and to kill and destroy. You ever been there before? Jesus says, though, I've come that they may have life. And then he adds on and have it to the full. Jesus came offering the fullness of life. And don't miss this because we get this wrong in church circles. This doesn't mean just for eternity. Not when just you're in the casket. But Jesus says, I've come that they may have life and have it abundantly now. Now hear me. That doesn't mean you always get everything on your Christmas list, okay? And you never have a bad day. But do you know what it does mean? It means that in an increasingly dark and dying world, you can live with the Zoe, the life that is truly life. And the world may not understand, and you go, sometimes I don't always understand, but I'm just saying to you today that the life that is in me is what fullness of life is. And the Word was fully God, every bit of him. But the Word was also fully life. And he says, will you come into that? Now, John 1, verse 5, the last verse of our passage today. I love this. It says, the light shines in the darkness, and the darkness has not overcome it. Final verse, John continues this theme. He's great with analogies, light, darkness. He says, the light shines in the darkness. And then do you feel that second phrase? Like maybe the most hopeful, powerful phrase of the whole passage today. Here it is. He says, and the darkness has not overcome it. Thought you might be a little more fired up than that, all right? Here's what it is. The light, what are we talking about? The light is Jesus. What's the darkness? The evil, the brokenness, the enemy of the world, okay? Let's go to school for a second. The word for overcome in verse 5, the original language is the word katalambano, okay? Don't write that down. I don't have time to spell it for you, okay? Katalambano. What does that mean? What does that word overcome mean? It means to take down. It's one definition, to take down. Word picture. It's as if someone is dictating for someone else. Meaning someone is writing or typing down what someone else is saying. And in this picture of katalambano, the person writing or typing looks at the person speaking and says, I can't take that down. I can't comprehend that. I can't process that. That's overwhelming to me. And John is saying to us that the light of the Word has come, and the darkness can't take it. The darkness cannot take it down. And hold on to this hopeful truth. Here's the last one about the Word today. The Word fully overcomes the world. The Word fully overcomes the world. The Word and the light, who is Jesus, has appeared into the darkness, and the promise, not just of eternity, but of now, is that the darkness cannot overcome it. What does that mean? Man, that means hope today, that no matter how dark and bleak this world gets, no matter how dark and bleak your world gets, that the light has, can, and will overcome it. Now, that word translated overcome, maybe in your translation, some translations, is translated comprehend. So is it overcome? Is it comprehend? It's both. Let me say it this way. To say that the world did not fully comprehend Jesus or his mission... be true? Yep. Read scripture. They didn't get it. To people today, your workplace, why you do the Jesus thing? Like, I don't get it, okay? Darkness can't comprehend it. But it's also true that the darkness was not able to overcome him. What's your proof in that? Because 3 days later, he walked out. And 2,000 years later, we're still speaking his gospel and his truth that the darkness of all of creation through all history cannot overcome it. That the light has come into the darkness. And here's what Jesus would also say. John 16, 33, you like this one. Jesus says, I've told you these things so that in me you may have peace. In this world, book it, write it down, calendar it. In this world, you will have trouble. It's coming. Don't act so surprised. But take heart today. Why? Because Jesus, not you and me, but Jesus has overcome the world. Here's what John's not describing. He's not describing the stage of the world with two opponents that are equally matched. And they're just exchanging blow for blow. You know what John was describing? One superior opponent. Who was kicking the other opponent's tail. And he says, the light has come into the darkness, and the darkness can't take it. The darkness cannot take it down. And because of that today, church, listen to me. We as humanity have incredible hope. We have incredible hope. Now, the Word fully overcomes the darkness of the world. And there are two significant promises that this brings to us. I want you to catch these, and this is where we're going to land today. Two promises that this truth brings to our lives. First is this. You'll see it on the screen. The light of Jesus is greater than the darkness of your sin. The light of Jesus is greater than the darkness of your sin. John said Jesus is the Word, but he's also the light, capital L. And just give us the reality today. The truth is the greatest struggle of humanity is sin. Okay. I don't know maybe your name or your story or what your week looked like, but I'm just saying the greatest struggle of your life right now is not your marriage. It's not your kids. It's not your parents that you can't stand. It's not the health thing, the money thing, the relationship thing. The greatest struggle of your life and mine is sin. Okay? And guess what? It sits at the root. Now, it branches out and it produces a lot of those other struggles and chaoses that we live in. But the greatest battle that you and I are in is sin. That's why Jesus came on a rescue mission to seek and save the lost who were lost by sin. Okay? And it's a battle that we all fight. And we'll all battle with it, okay, until the day we leave this temporary earth that we're residing in. But can I just be honest for a second? Okay. There's some of you today that as you enter Christmas, Advent season, and all the hoorah, and if you're really honest today, and you're in a knockdown, drag-out battle with sin. And I'm not saying raise your hand, tell your neighbor. That's not what I'm pushing you to. But maybe it's the pull of addiction that keeps kicking your tail. Maybe it's a battle with purity that it feels like you keep losing over and over. Maybe as late as last night. Maybe it's a struggle with fear, because that's real. It's struggling with self-harm or even self-hate. And I'm just saying today the amazing news of Christmas. It's not the Sunday church message. It's the gospel sovereign message. Is that the Word overcomes. The Word can overcome. 1 Corinthians 15:56. Let me sprinkle some Paul in here. He says the sting of death is sin. That's what we're living in, and it's not comfortable. And the power of sin is the law. Give me some good news, though, Paul. But thanks be to God. Wow, because He gives us the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ. Here's what I'm saying to you, to somebody today. No matter how powerful the pull of sin is on your life, if I read the Word right, the light of Jesus can bring victory over the darkness of your sin. Amen. How you know that? Because the light shines in the darkness, and the darkness cannot overcome it. Amen. And the power available to you through Jesus can be stronger than the pull of sin on you. Well, how do you get there? Sounds good. How do I access that? I mean, let me just kind of give you some maybe clear principles from the Word. First is surrender. What's that mean? That's just a churchy word for you stop fighting on your own. You get out of the ring and stop trying to throw punches on your own. And you surrender and you let go. What then? Well, I think it's good to confess it. Confess it to God. Maybe it's the addiction, it's the purity battle, it's the fear, it's the anxiety. And you just go, God, like, man, I'm just being real with you. Can I tell you something? God already knows. Why in the world we got to tell Him? Because in that, it's a humbling of our spirit to go, I can't win it. So I'm transferring it to you, who's big enough to handle it. So we surrender, we let go, we confess it, and then guess what? Man, I think this is massively, you connect your life with some other people who love Jesus and love you. We say it all the time here. You weren't meant to do life alone. And that's all of us, the introverts and the extroverts. That God created us to walk in this together. The light of Jesus, here's the light of Jesus is greater than the darkness of your sin. If you trust Him, okay? Second amazing promise, this is it. The light of Jesus is greater than the darkness of your pain. The light, capital L, of Jesus is greater than the darkness of your pain. I know it. I know it. Some of you, I'm not saying identify yourself, but some of you are entering this Christmas season with an incredible amount of pain. And maybe it came because of choices that, be real, you made. Okay? And you're dealing with the wake of that. Still pain. Maybe it's choices not that you made, but that somebody else made that impact you. You didn't ask for it, but it was done to you. Or maybe it's pain that simply comes because we live in a broke world. And sometimes the world just hands us pain and chaos and storms. Why would I bring that up? Why would I highlight that? Why would I dust that off or aggravate that scab in your life? Well, here's why. Because the promise today is that the Word fully overcomes the world. And the light of Jesus, capital L, is greater than the darkness of your pain. And maybe if you don't catch any other scripture today, would you resonate with this? Would you see this one? Hebrews chapter 4, verse 14. Look at it. We're going to read three verses. Therefore, it says, therefore, since we have a great high priest, that's Jesus, okay, who has ascended into heaven, Jesus, the Son of God, let us do what? Let us hold firmly to the faith that we profess. You talking about what we sang earlier, that God's with us and, oh, come, let us adore? Yeah, hold on to that. That's what he's saying. For we do not have a high priest who is unable to empathize with our weakness. It's not that he doesn't get you. But yet we have one who has been tempted in every way, who has felt what we felt, just as we are, yet he did not sin. So therefore, let us then approach God's throne of grace with confidence so that we may receive mercy and find grace to help us in our time of need. And here's what I'm saying to you today. If you are overwhelmed today by pain, take heart today that Jesus is not overwhelmed. Jesus, the Word, came to be with us. And although he came to earth and experienced all of the pain and the chaos and the brokenness of the earth, you know what? Here we go. The world didn't overcome him. But he overcame the world, which gives him the authority today to invite you in, to say, bring your burden, bring your pain, bring your doubt, your chaos, your fear, and bring it to the throne of God. You don't need somebody to do it for you. You got access. You bring it to a loving Father who sent me to you so that you can find what? So that you can find mercy and grace to help you in your time of need. The light of Jesus is greater than the darkness of your pain. And the Word of Jesus fully overcomes the world. But let's be honest, preacher. Look around. It don't look like the light's winning. Turn on the news for 5 minutes. Scroll social. Go to work. Talk to a friend. Murder. Mass shooting. Death. Chaos. Storm. There's no way the light's winning. It's overwhelming. It's depressing. Can I tell you, sometimes I'm tempted to go there too, but can I give you this hope today? You ready? While this temporary life that we live in is filled with the darkness of sin, the hope is there is an eternal life to come that is ruled by the light of righteousness. That's what the world doesn't have. That hope. The light is greater than the darkness, and because of that, we have hope. And yes, if you're in Christ today, we're going to walk out in the world and we witness the darkness. We witness the brokenness. We turn it on and see it. But in the midst of that, here we go. Because of that coming truth, we have hope. We can grieve with hope. We can forgive, that's hard, with hope. We can love unconditionally with hope. We can endure and persevere. How? With hope. Why? Because the Word wins. The light has shined into the darkness, and the darkness cannot overcome it.
Christmas is the celebration of Jesus coming to be with us. During this Christmas season, we are looking at God's Word to us in John 1 that highlights God's greatest gift to us in sending Jesus to be the Word in flesh. Jesus came as a light in the darkness and as hope in the hopelessness. The good news of Christmas is that Jesus came to bring truth and hope to your life. No matter what your life or faith journey may look like this Christmas, God wants you to personally experience His love, His joy, and His peace. We would love to pray for and encourage you as you seek to know Jesus and live in relationship with Him. You can get the conversation started today by simply texting your first name to 601-397-6111. By sending us a direct message or through our website, our ministry team would love to pray for you and walk with you in your faith this Christmas. As we close out our time today and prepare to scatter as the church, let's speak our declaration together. We believe the great exchange took place when Jesus, who had no sin, became sin for us so we could know God. We exist to see people exchange their old life for new life in Christ and live out their purpose. Christ's love compels us to exchange ideas for truth. God's word is our standard. Selfishness for serving, we will serve others. Pleasing for reaching, we will share our faith. Keeping for dispersing, we will make disciples. Forgetting for celebrating, we will praise God. We are the church.